Let's get into the sermon for today. So last week, we started a brand new sermon series called Name Above All Names. And here's what we're doing. We're looking at the different characteristics, names, attributes of who God is. So last week, we kicked it all off by looking at God All Glorious. And man, what a start. I just love the characteristic that God is all glorious. Today, we're looking at God Unchanging. The theological word for that is immutability. Not a word that we use very often. We do use the word mute a lot, but it's a different word, right? You mute your TV. You could mute me right now. You could try to mute somebody around you, but that's immutability is different. Immutability means this: God does not change. No changing. Here's a great quote that I read this week from A.W. Tozer. It says, to say that God is immutable is to say that he never differs from himself. The concept of a growing or developing God is not found in scriptures. It seems to me impossible to think of God as varying from himself in any way. Now, settling into this truth has a dramatic effect on your life. Let me tell you the effect, and we're going to dive into this deeper at the end. It will give your life a rock of stability to build upon. That's the first major impact on your life. Here's the second. The second is that it will give you supernatural strength as you're going through your days. And what a great encouragement that is, right? A rock of stability and supernatural strength. Man, I have been praying for you this week as I've been preparing for this, that you will experience those things today as we're looking at God's word. That these truths will affect your heart and your mind this week as you are moving through the varying circumstances of your life. Man, I long for you to know deeply how amazing it is that God does not change. So would you bow your heads like right now? Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word, and then we'll dive into this. So let's bow our heads and pray. So Lord, right now I ask that you will bring great clarity to our minds to this glorious truth that you don't change. And Lord, I ask that, you know, you would, as we think about this, you'd lift us out of the ordinary, the boring, and even the hard things that we're dealing with right now to understand you more as our spectacular and amazing God who knows it all, who holds us strongly, and is leading us through these times. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's start off with a question. What is immutability? I've already answered that, but just so we're all on the same page, it's the fact that God does not change. Let's look at a few scripture verses. James chapter 1, 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So there's one place where we see this. Psalm 102 is a really cool spot where it talks about this. He says, of old, God, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So he's talking about creation and how God created it all. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe. Isn't that a fascinating idea? And they will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. Exodus 3:14, God says, I am who I am. Meaning, God's saying, look, I have always been the way I am. I was this way yesterday. I'll be this way in the future. I'm never changing. The Hebrews 13, verse 8, tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, pretty clear, God never wavers. God does not change. He is stable, steady, dependable. Now, in what ways then does he not change? Because some ways a person would not change could be obnoxious, actually. Like if you live with someone or you know someone and they have a bad habit or a frustrating habit in some way, and they say, oh, I never change, well, you'd be annoyed by that. But see, that's not God. Though that's very, very different from God. In fact, that's the opposite of God. And so I want to clarify that with showing you three categories in which God does not change. So those three categories are, and we're going to use the whiteboard again to illustrate this, are God's perfections, God's purposes, and God's promises. Three ways where God never changes. So let's look at these one at a time. Let's start off with God's perfections. And let's just think about a song that we probably all know here for a second, right? The song Good, Good Father. It has a phrase in it that talks about his perfections. We sing, you are perfect in all of your ways, right? You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. And then we say, you are a good, good father. It's who you are. And as we sing that, boy, it should affect our hearts. Because our heart is awakened to this reality that God is perfect. And oh, what a blessing then that becomes to us. Let me show you some scriptures and some examples of how this is seen in scripture. So one example, I'm going to draw a circle here. One example of God's perfections is seen. There's a bunch of them listed in this section. So Exodus 34 verses 6 through 7. And it describes some of God's perfections. It calls God, God is merciful. God is gracious. It tells us that God is patient, that God is loving. We know that God has, it doesn't say it in this passage, but we know that God has foreknowledge. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. So he's the way. He knows the way always. He's the truth. He's the life. That's all from that one verse, right? We know he's a creator who's perfect. You get the idea, right? He has wisdom. And man, this is just the tip of the iceberg of God's spectacular perfections that we see listed out in Scripture. Now, it can be challenging to wrap our minds around perfections that never change because we live in a world where everything changes. You know, I was thinking about this computer we have in our kitchen that scrolls through old photographs of our family, and it's fun to look at those. But it's obvious when you look at those that we change. You know, we look at old hairdos and like old glasses and old fashion, and we see our kids when they're younger and we see them growing. Like, we live in a world, we only know change, in fact. That's what we are surrounded by all the time. So it's hard to actually comprehend, well, what does not changing look like? And sometimes, actually, because of the world we live in, change is good. Yeah, I was thinking about this. Like, some change is bad, of course, but a lot of change is really, really good. Wouldn't we all love to see a change in the sense of, let's figure out this COVID-19 thing? That'd be a change. We could all get back to a somewhat normal life. So it is difficult to understand inherent goodness woven into never changing. But I came up with this illustration. I hope this helps. So it's a baseball analogy. So those of you who are baseball fans, you know, March 26th was supposed to be opening day. Here's a little love for you right here. So imagine that the pitcher for your team is immutable. He does not change, okay? Now, all of the attributes that he has on the mound are perfect. So let's just play this out a little bit. So that would mean that his fastball is always 100 miles per hour, and he can paint the corners with it, right? He's got a curveball that always breaks 12 inches. He's got a knuckleball. Man, and this thing just dances around like crazy. All right, now, let's add to this the qualities that he never misses his pitch. It always goes exactly where he wants it to go, and he never gets tired, ever. So he starts the game, and he always finishes the game because he never gets tired. In fact, he doesn't even need rest days in between his games. He could pitch literally every inning of every game of every season for your team. Now, just think about this. How good would that be for you? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be spectacular to watch this pitcher just dominate all the time? He is a pitcher who never changes. Now, if you understand that, then you're beginning to understand the exceeding goodness that is in God's perfections of never changing. So, there we go. That's perfections. Let's get into God's purposes. The second one we have here, God's purposes, they flow out of God's perfections. J.I. Packer says this about God's purposes, which you could also call God's plans. What God does in time, he planned from eternity, and all that he planned in eternity, he carries out in time. So these are God's plans. These are how God does his purposes, his decrees. So Psalm 33:11 tells us that the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans, which are his purposes, of his heart to all generations. Now, this starts to make more sense when we give some examples to it. So 1 Samuel chapter 15 tells us, and also the glory of Israel, so that's God, does not lie or have regret, for he's not a man that he should have regret. So what they're saying there is that, okay, flowing out of the perfections is this, is that God cannot, he cannot lie. Why? Because he has perfect foreknowledge and he's loving and he's truth. So as those kind of put together, you can't lie. He also cannot have regret. Because, again, he has perfect foreknowledge of everything that's ever going to come. And so when he makes his decisions, when he moves things forward, he never makes a mistake as he leads with his purposes. Romans 8:28 is another great example of one of God's purposes, where it tells us that all things work together for God's good. All the time. It's one of his purposes that flow out of his perfections. Another example would be in Isaiah 53:10, it tells us that one of the purposes of God was for Jesus Christ to take the guilt of humanity. So Jesus takes the guilt. It was a plan that God put in motion. It flowed from his perfections, part of his purposes. Here's one more. Ephesians 1:10 tells us about a new heaven and a new earth that are coming. It says, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And so all of this stuff is flowing out of the perfections of who God is, and these are his purposes. This is, again, just like before with the perfections, man, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a small smidgen of what I can show you right now of how God moves things forward with his plans and with his purposes, but they never change. Whatever God has planned from eternity, he carries it out in time, always and perfectly. That's the way he is. He cannot do it any other way. Now, here's the third expression. The third expression is his promises. Right? Now, promises are going to flow out of God's perfections also. All right? So, but promises are a little different. They're similar but different. One of the similarities is, obviously, they flow from the perfections. The difference is that the purposes tend to be generally applied, and the promises. become very, very personal to you as an individual. Let me give you a few examples of this. So James 1:5 tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God promises you to give you his wisdom if you ask. James 4:7 tells us that if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, then he will flee from you. So again, one of them is if you resist the devil, well, then he will flee. Flows from his perfections of his goodness, his strength, his purity, his willingness to always answer you when you call to him. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we will confess our sins, then flowing out of his perfections, he promises to forgive us. I've run out of space. I can't write it. Deuteronomy 31:8 tells us that it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So he's with you. We got to start writing these in. They're too good. He is with you. He will never break that promise. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So every need. Anybody have any needs today? Man, of course we have needs. And look at this promise. God is with you. He's promising to supply every need that you have. He's promising to give you wisdom if you'll ask. He's promising, look, if you will turn to him and resist the devil will flee from you. Man, this is the kind of stuff you can build your life on. The promises of God, and they never change. Never. You will never go to God and say, hey, God, I need you with me right now. God never says, oh, I'm not going to be with you today. He never says that because that would be him changing. He never changes. So you can build your whole life upon these promises. Look, everything else in our world changes constantly. And how comforting is it to us to know that we can worship and know a God who does not change. His perfections, his purposes, his plans, his promises, they never change. They are dependable. They are a rock of stability. Isaiah 46:11 tells us, I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. That is God talking. Now, knowing and living this, man, it will dramatically change your life. I mentioned these at the beginning, and I want to circle back to them right now. It will give you a rock of stability to build your life upon. And it will give you supernatural strength to deal with a world that's constantly changing. Let's look at the first, the rock of stability. In Matthew chapter 7, after Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about himself, he talked about his kingdom. He wraps up that whole sermon with an analogy of a person who will either build their life upon him as the rock or as a person who will build their life upon the sand. He was talking about referring to his immutability. So let's look at this right now. Basically, Jesus was saying, build your life on me. I am the rock of stability for you. I will not change, and your life can know my stability if you will build it on me. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus concludes his sermon by saying, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, if a person doesn't make a choice to build their life on the rock of stability of Jesus Christ, they have made a choice, and the choice that they've made is to build it on the sand. We all start as houses who are built on sand. We all start as weak, unstable. But boy, how great is it? I mean, just think about this blessing that he offers us. How great is it that if you'll choose to build your life on Jesus Christ, Jesus tells you, he says, I will share my stability with you. My rock solid foundation that never changes, that is always secure. You can taste and see how good he is. You can know his immutability and the stability of a rock that that gives to your life. And boy, you can live on that every moment of every day of your life. Sure, storms are going to come. Hello, we're all in a storm right now. Personal storms and also collective storms. Our collective storm right now, certainly COVID-19, man. This is an experience that none of us have ever lived through before. But think about this, guys. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not need to be afraid of the storms. Yes, they're going to blow against you. Yes, the waters are going to rise, but your foundation is secure. He is unchanging. He is not surprised by what we are going through. He is confident. He is secure. He is not afraid. And you can experience that confidence because Jesus will share his confidence with you because he is a rock of stability. You do not have to be afraid. Another example, follower Jesus, you do not need to carry the weight of the concern about the global economy, right? You are not meant to bear that weight. You do not have the primary responsibility for that. But God, he bears primary responsibility for all of the concerns that you might have right now. And he will share his rock of stability with you, with whatever you are concerned about today. You do not have to be stressed out about an uncertain future. Boy, our futures are so uncertain right now. Uncertain, certainly with your job, uncertain with maybe some family members, uncertain with anything that might affect the economy, your recreation, the things that you love to do so much. You do not need to be stressed about it because Jesus will give you his perfect peace if you will trust him because he is a rock of stability. See, when your life is built upon that, the storms, although they come, you can rest securely in Jesus Christ. Here's another great quote I came across this week from A.W. Tozer. He says, if you can get a hold of this, it can be your anchor in the storm, a hiding place in danger. And maybe the decision that you need to make today is to stop trying to be your own rock of stability. You know it's not working. You see and feel the negative effects of it. And maybe today is your time to just say, enough. Enough of trying to build my own life upon an unsteady, sandy foundation and turn to Jesus Christ. Tell him, I want to build my life upon you, Jesus. Tell him that you want to be a follower of his and start walking with him and know his stability. That's the first major, boy, life-changing implication of understanding God being immutable. Here's the second. The second is that you can know God's supernatural strength as you go through all of the different things that you're going through. A great verse, lots of you know it. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through him, through God, who strengthens me. So his strength is just one of the examples of the stability that I've just been talking about. So if anybody's feeling weak right now, anybody been feeling weak this past week, boy, think about the offer of his strength. I was feeling a little weak this last week. I felt down. I felt a little discouraged. I don't know exactly. I just felt off. I had a couple bad days. And, you know, in our family, we've been coping with some of these different rhythms with, you know, playing some family games every once in a while, watching some shows together, planning out some special dinners. And all of our coping mechanisms, man, they were falling woefully short of helping me get through. Like, I was not feeling strong. So this is where God's immutability, boy, it met my life. See, I had changed. I went from feeling strong to feeling weak. And as I turned to Jesus, my rock, I asked him to fill me up with his strength. And he changed me as I felt his strength, his presence, fill my heart. And maybe that's your decision application today. Maybe you need to stop looking to try to be your own strength and turn to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I cannot manufacture the strength to keep positive, to keep like filled with hope, to be continuing on in faith. I cannot do it because I am weak. But God, you are strong, and you promise me that I can do everything through you who gives me strength. And if you will ask Jesus, if you'll say, hey, look, I am weak, Jesus, fill me with your strength. I turn to you and ask that you fill me with your strength. If you will do that today, he will give you his strength. He shares his strength with you. So I'd like to wrap all of this up with a closing illustration that I hope brings it all together. And remember earlier, I'd like to go back to our baseball pitcher analogy that I was saying. Remember I was saying that I compared God's immutability to that baseball pitcher? Well, let's use the same concept, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to insert you into the game. Okay? Well, here's what that means. You are now on the pitcher's mound. You are now the one throwing the pitches in the game. Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, I know this, some of you are thinking, I don't like baseball. I'm not in the game. So look, it doesn't matter if you like baseball or not. You are in the game because this is an analogy of life, okay? So you're in there, you're on the mound. And sometimes you don't want to play, do you? Sometimes you're saying, oh, I don't want to be on that mound. I want to actually sit on the stands and watch other people play the game. And God comes to you and he says, I know what you feel, but you're not going out on that mound alone. I know you doubt yourself, but I am your strength and your rock. I know you doubt your abilities, but with me, you can do this. I will hold you up. I will strengthen you. If you'll trust me, I will share my perfections with you, and you will do an amazing job filled with my presence, walking with me and trusting me as we go. And maybe you even need right now to hear God saying to you, that's you. That's you. Get in the game and let God strengthen you to do what he does. Now, some of you, man, some of you are dying to get on that mound. When I started this analogy, you thought, oh man, get me in the game. I am athletic. As a matter of fact, you know, I have some baseball experience. And so you've got some pitches, you want to show off a little bit. And, you know, so you go out onto that mound and you're throwing some, you're doing all right. And then a couple innings into the game, God walks out to the mound. He's going to have a little convo with you because you're starting to get hit. You're running out of gas. And God says to you something a little different than he said to the person who didn't even want to go out on the field. God says to you, you ready to do it in my strength? Or do you just want to keep trying to do this in your own? Do you want to trust me and experience what pitching would be like with my perfections? Or do you just want to keep doing it in your mediocre way? And then there's the choice for you. And for some of you today, God is speaking to you and saying, look, you're trying to do too much in your own strength. Turn to me. Experience my strength. Let my presence, my perfections, my goodness, my love, let that flow out of your life. And it will be a blessing to other people as you go through your day. And boy, it'll be a blessing to you. You'll actually find yourself thinking, actually, this is a whole lot better than me doing it my way. And of course it is, because it's God's perfections. They're God's purposes. And they are God's promises. And we get this amazing privilege to partner with him. As we live through this life, we experience his immutability, but then we also get to share in the strength that surrounds it. It's a, man, is it amazing. See, God offers you to be a rock of stability, and he offers to be your strength today. And if you want to make a decision right now as we close to move into relationship with God, to move into experiencing those two benefits, I want you to just bow your heads, and I'm going to guide you in a prayer together right now. So bow your heads. God, in so many areas of our lives right now, boy, we are trying to do it on our own. And I just want to say right now, I'm going to articulate it, and everybody who's like voicing this out, Lord, I just want to say, I quit. I quit right now trying to do this on my own. And right now, instead, I'm turning to you. I need everything you are, and I want to live my life for you, with you, empowered by your strength, filled by your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, right now, fill my life. I surrender my life to you. I walk in faith with you right now, Lord. And I say, you are my God. You are the immutable God who never changes. And I walk with you now as I declare out my praise and my truth that you are my rock that never moves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.